You don't like them, they're his. We hadn't actually. But here's a couple. You know, it is the Wednesday right before New Year's, and so tomorrow everybody's going to be making these resolutions and stuff. How many of you ever made a resolution before? I mean, made the same one every year, you know, whatever. And but here's some, maybe some resolutions for you that might work, maybe not. One would be to stop doom scrolling on Twitter. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Looking for all the bad news on Twitter. And I thought I made a slide of that. But anyway, the second one would be you're going to get on a diet for 6 months before giving up. Okay? All right, that's usually me. Number three is you're going to sign up for a marathon that you bravely will not actually run. Number four, remember to make overnight oats the night before, even though in the morning you're not going to want to eat them. Does anybody identify? Pastor Kathy makes really good overnight oats, so I always like to eat them. Relearn social cues after a year at home. You know, us guys especially, we just can't go out in public. You know what I mean? So, unfriend any person who shares their unsolicited diet plan or exercise regimen with you. Number seven, don't text that toxic person back. Do not let your thumbs do your talking. Number eight, I had to put this in because I went to the dentist today. Floss every day, not just with wild abandon, the week of your next dentist appointment. I get fussed at every 6 months. So, you know, I think about 3 days before. You know, it doesn't fool them. All right, so number nine, get outside among people. It's time to get out and live life, but we need to do it safely. Number 10, stop lying to yourself about following resolutions. Keeping resolutions. All right, so maybe some of those are for you. I don't know. But we're going to look tonight a little bit, not at resolutions, but how we can have a great 2021. It doesn't have to, you don't have to set the bar real high for it to be better than 2020, although the first month and a half, 2 months of 2020 were really good. And then it went downhill fast after that. But going through a new year is nothing new. It brings the opportunity for you to accept, write that down, new challenges and climb to new heights. It gives you an opportunity to accept new challenges and climb to new heights. Actually, I think New Year's refreshing, especially after a year like we've had with 2020, especially where it seems like COVID took out a month and a half of mine and my wife's life, and some of y'all as well, you know, and my brother up in Georgia missed 24 days of work because of it, and throw in weekends, that's a lot of days, you know, and I mean, that's nothing for compared to people spending time in the hospital, but you know, going through the new year is like resetting your phone. You know, I was showing somebody earlier, you do it with the two buttons, you know, and it kind of clears the headache that your phone gets or your computer gets. And so it's like getting a fresh start, you know. And, you know, Pastor Kathy mentioned that we should make a prayer list of things we would like to happen in 2021 that only God can do. And I would suggest that you do that, and especially as we go through the 21 days of prayer, and be praying about that. So what are some, I guess with that, I'll ask you this question. What are some accomplishments you would like to experience in 2021? What are some things that you would like for God to do? And I want you to think about that. Now, it's not all truly spiritual. It might be, I want to finally lose that 10 pounds that I've been making that resolution about every year. And, you know, or maybe you're going to exercise more, get a degree or certification in something. I'm going to save more money. I'm going to volunteer more. I'm going to write a book, whatever it is. But put some God things in there too, you know, and set some spiritual goals. I think one thing at River Church, we'll make this commitment every year, is we're committed to the Word of God, and we're committed to speaking it and living by it every year. So, you know, look at 2 Timothy 4:3. It says, "For a time is coming," I believe it's here, when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires, and they will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. We're living in a day where people don't want to hear the Word of God. They don't want to be corrected by the Word of God. And they'll find, you can go on social media, and you can find somebody that will say what you want to hear. Even with this COVID thing we've had, you had some doctors and scientists saying wear a mask. Others saying don't wear a mask. And you had people on the internet going, man, if you wear a mask, your oxygen level is going to drop and da-da-da-da-da. And I'm going, you know, my response was always, then how do doctors do it all day long? You know, so, you know, it works. And, you know, but there's a time coming when people don't want to listen to sound teaching. But we're going to, and we're going to continue to do that. And that's our commitment to you as we go through this year. So, you know, we're going to live by the Word of God, which means when the Word of God says flee sexual immorality, we're going to flee from it, right? This would be a good time for y'all to say, right. Okay, when it says not to speak unwholesome words or gossip, we won't, right? Right, okay. When it says, when the Word of God says we're going to be Christ's ambassadors, we're going to act like it, right? Right, all right. When it says we're going to live in a manner worthy of our calling, we're going to live it, right? Y'all getting all right. Y'all doing pretty good. When it says to avoid even the appearance of evil, we're going to avoid it, right? Right. Right. As best we can. When it says to help the poor, we're going to do that, right? Right. Right. Okay. So we're going to do those things because that's what the Word tells us to do. And we're going to live by the Word. And so that's why we're doing the 2021 prayer and fasting emphasis, which starts on January the 4th. Because we want to start the year off focused on God, focused on seeking what He wants us to do as individuals, as a group, as a church. And so I hope you'll participate in it. We'll be feeding you some stuff about that. And you know, the emphasis is on praying. The fasting part is fasting something. Basically, the idea of fasting is to slay your flesh. It's to deny yourself something. It might not be food, might not be your issue. Internet might be your issue. Cigarettes might be your issue. A beer, whatever, you know, is your issue. Whatever is controlling you. Might be TV. Might be pecan pie. You know, if y'all will notice, I did not say anything about pecan pie leading into Christmas this year because last year y'all, like, gave me six of them. I was almost needing insulin after Christmas, you know. But it was, you know, but, you know, pray about that. We want to get into that prayer and fasting. And what you want to do is deny yourself something just to discipline your flesh, but you want to spend that time in prayer. So how can we have a great 2021? I want to give you some thoughts real quick. To have a great 2021, we have to live for the Lord. You just got to live for the Lord. Number one, above everything, you have got to live for the Lord. Paul said in Romans 12, 1 and 2, he said this, and so, dear brothers and sisters, he's talking to you and me. Brothers and sisters, he's talking to Christians. I could have sworn I put that on one verse per slide. But anyway, I don't know what happened to our slides. Y'all just squint real good, okay? I don't know what happened, but I thought I formatted it. I must not have. He's talking, brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. He said, give your bodies to God. Because of all he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And so I want to talk about that passage for a little while. So we've got to live for the Lord. When we live for the Lord, we submit ourselves to him. Write that down. We submit ourselves to Jesus. That's why we raise our hands. We surrender. We surrender to Jesus. We submit ourselves to him. In verse 1, he says, give your bodies to God. That's all we've got to give, is we give our bodies, which is our mind, our will, our emotions, our flesh, everything about us. In other words, we give everything we have to God. We surrender it all. And, you know, a lot of people worry that, God's going to ask them to send them somewhere as a missionary they don't want to go. I have some friends in Mississippi. Used to worry that God was going to make them come to New Orleans as a missionary. And he never did. And he probably won't do what you fear either. We need to totally surrender ourselves to God. Let me tell you, the best place to be is in the center of God's will. The worst place to be is over here out of God's will when you know what God's will is. And so you want to be in the center of God's will. And obeying him is simply trusting that he knows more than you do. It's easy for me to realize that, okay? I know God knows way more than I. When I went into seminary, I thought I was pretty smart. I'm going into seminary. I studied the Bible. I thought I was pretty smart. The more I was in seminary, the more I knew I didn't know anything. And I came out of seminary just feeling dumb. And here's why. Because you go to seminary, I thought I had things figured out. But I went in there and found out God is a whole lot bigger than I thought he was. Okay? God's big. And the better you get to know him, the bigger he is. And so we want to completely submit ourselves to him. Give your bodies to him. Submit to him. When we live for the Lord, we change the way we think. Write that down. We change the way we think. I think I forgot to change it. We renew our minds. You can write renew your minds, that's NIV. I change it to NLT. We change the way we think. That's what renewing your mind is. And so look what Paul wrote in verse 2. He said, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. You've got to change the way you think. I love to watch the Olympics. Anybody besides me like to watch the Olympics? One of the things I like to watch his diving. And that amazes me because I can't really do more than a belly flop. And it just doesn't work for me. But, you know, divers learn early that where your head goes, the body follows. And you can see that in New Orleans just driving around. People be talking. It's like, turn around, don't look at me. You know, they'll turn around and talk to you and the car's changing lanes. But where the head goes, the rest of the body goes. And so we've got to change the way we think, because where this is where all of this follows. So we've got to change the way I think. Change the way we think. God doesn't want us to just think. He wants us to think differently. He wants us to think differently. And when we change the way we think, our attitudes, our values, our goals will line up with God's attitudes, values, and goals, because we change the way we think about all that stuff. And so when we live for the Lord, we'll be able to know his will for our lives, and it'll make it possible for you to have a great 2021. Y'all, I apologize for these slides. I thought I fixed them, but I didn't. And we need to ask the Lord to teach us to think like he thinks. You know how we do that? We get into the Word of God. That's why we have those one-year Bibles for you. That's why we have these devotionals for you. That's why we preach from the Word of God. You've got to ask God to teach you how he thinks. When we do that, the Holy Spirit will begin to transform us, and we'll begin to discover what God's will is for you individually, not just as a group, and you'll begin to adopt and start thinking the way God thinks. Your values will change and all those things. And so you need to understand that, because he's at work in you when you're pressing in. So I want you to think, what are three things that you can do to deepen your relationship with the Lord? What would be three things that you could do that would deepen your relationship with the Lord? Is it maybe spend the first 15? There's an app you can put on your phone, the first 15. But if you spend 5 minutes in the Word, 5 minutes in prayer, and 5 minutes in worship, at least start there. That'll make a difference in your life. What are three things you can begin doing? Number two, to have a great 2021, I believe we should serve God in the church, in our church. We should serve him. Paul said in Romans 12:6, he said, in his grace, God has given us different gifts. See, God gives each person different gifts. You don't want me behind this microphone right here or sitting on the drums. Lord, that would be terrible. I mean, I've got the rhythm of the wall, And so, but God gives each of us gifts, and we're to use those gifts to do his work. There was a story of a nervous young preacher who was asked by a funeral director to preach a graveside service for a homeless man. Since the man had no friends or family, the service was held out in a little bitty cemetery, kind of out in the country. The young preacher got lost and arrived about an hour late. He saw that the funeral director had already left, the hearse was nowhere in sight, and there were only the diggers and crew standing around eating lunch with the vault lid already put in place and some dirt was already covering it up. So the young preacher apologized to the men for being late and just went ahead and started the service. The workers put down their lunches, began to gather around as he attempted to preach his heart out. As he preached, he actually got a few amens and hallelujahs from the workers. And as they closed in singing Amazing Grace, there wasn't a dry eye there. His head and his heart were full, and the preacher simply nodded a goodbye to the workers. As he headed towards his vehicle, the young preacher heard one of the workers say, "Man, that was beautiful. I've been putting in septic tanks for 20 years, and nothing like that's ever happened." We need to use our gifts, right? He probably need to learn GPS, but I mean, in giving gifts, God has given us the opportunity to influence others on his behalf. He gives the gifts for the good of the church, and he gives those to us to make him known. Not to make me known or you known, but to make him known. And so when you serve here at River Church, I mean, you're sharing God's love with others. Let me just give you some examples. If you're a greeter, you're warmly welcoming people. And, maybe somebody's been depressed. You don't know who's coming through that door. Somebody might be suicidal coming through that door. You don't know. And so when they see somebody that's friendly, give them a fist bump. I wouldn't shake hands, but fist bump or say, "Hey, we're glad you're here." And then hand them a bulletin, show them where the coffee is. That can make a difference. I remember walking in a church when I was at a critical time like that. And they didn't have greeters, so I just sat on the very back row. But this couple sat in front of me. And I noticed they slid over. And they turned around and said, "We slid over so you could sit with us." I didn't really want to do that. I wanted to be by myself. But I went up and sat with them. Then they took me out to lunch, and I went back to that church. And I was a member of that church for 9 years. And it was because of that couple. And so, greeters, you don't know what you're doing. Ushers, I mean, you're helping collect things, helping keep order in here and doing all that. Worship team, you're encouraging people to connect with God. You're not just playing music. You're helping us connect with God. And it might be a failed marriage or something that's coming along, but you're helping us connect with God. I mean, somebody might be in here for their last try. I'm going to give God one more try. And they come in here and they hear, one of the songs that speaks to them, break every chain. You might be coming in here with the chains of all kinds of bondage, of shame on you. And that song, I mean, we get to jump. But we were in here having prayer, and Chrissy had a playlist going on while we were praying. And I was having trouble praying because I was wanting to, it was good songs. And Break Every Chain was one of them, wasn't it? And so, that's what the worship team does. The River Kids people, volunteers, they're in there keeping these kids out of here so you can listen. But they're instilling Jesus in these kids. They're not just babysitting them. They're giving them lessons. Folks, let me tell you, I still remember lessons from third grade Sunday school. Ms. Holt around her piano. I won't sing the songs, but I remember the songs that we sang. That's why it's important for kids to be here. And so River Kids, a volunteer. Security, providing a safe environment for us to be here. Fuel the Future is helping feed kids down the street and soon to be at another school probably that come to school hungry because of bad parenting or whatever. And so there's things you can be part of within this church. There's other outreach possibilities and stuff. And you're serving the Lord. And serving the Lord, write this down, through our church, we need to be honest in assessing our gifts. We need to be honest assessing our gifts. That means I'm not going to stand behind this microphone and try and lead the singing and play the guitar. That means that we're going to be honest in assessing our gifts. We don't think we're better than we are, and we don't think we're worse than we are. But here's what Paul said. He said, "Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give you each this warning. Don't think you're better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God's given us." So I'm only to compare myself to me. God's given me gifts, and I've got to evaluate those. So think about what you're good at. If you don't know what you're good at or bad at, ask somebody. They'll tell you. If you're married, ask them. They'll tell you. You know, if you're not sure, they'll tell you the truth. One day a preacher's son asked his dad, said, Dad, why is it that you bow your head before you go preach every Sunday? He said, well, son, I'm asking God to make it a good sermon. And his son said, well, Dad, why didn't he ever do that? Sometimes you feel that way. But anyway, be honest in assessing your gifts. And serving the Lord through our church, we need to be faithful in using our gifts. You see that with these guys. Let me tell you, Larry and Fred and some others have been faithful up on that roof doing stuff. Larry is fixing plumbing in here. You don't want me to fix the plumbing because then we'll need a wet vac, you know, vacuuming it up. But using our gifts that God's given us, and we need to be faithful in using those gifts. Paul said in Romans 12, 4 and 5, just as our bodies have many parts, each part has a special function. So it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body. We all belong to each other. Me up here speaking, you hear me a lot better because there's guys back there that are making the sound system work using their gifts. And if people are hearing it on Facebook, they're able to hear it because people are using gifts and different people have gifts. And we're all to use those. So every part serves a function. And so when a member of the church body doesn't use their gifts, it hurts the body. Now, there's a couple of extremes you kind of need to avoid. One would be serving once in a blue moon. That would be like, okay, we did an Easter outreach one year, and I'll see you next Easter on that outreach or whatever, you know. And the other would be serving all the time. You don't want to do either extreme. One's not helpful, the other's not healthy. We want you to serve. But we want you to bring people along with you. And you know, the whole goal, we'll eventually be back on two services on Sunday. Part of the reason, as much as fitting people in here, we can put more chairs in here, but part of the reason is so the Sundays, the children's workers can come in here at 9 and then go work with the kids at 10, at 10:45. And the 10:45, the early group, a couple of people can watch the kids at 9, come to church at 10, or vice versa. And so we want to do that. So everybody gets to be part of the worship service, to worship and to hear what God is saying. So we want everybody using their gifts. Number three, to have a great 2021, we got to love each other. I know I'm meddling. We've got to love each other. Look what Paul said. Don't pretend to love others. Really love them. See, it's not just our day and age where people had trouble. They just didn't have Facebook back then, all right? Paul said, don't pretend to love them. Love them. Really love them. Hate what's wrong and hold tightly to what's good. Let me tell you what, I can hate what addiction does to somebody and still love you. You hate what's wrong, but you love each other. You love each other. He says, love each other with genuine affection and take delight and honor in each other. We need to take delight in building each other up and honoring each other and loving each other with genuine affection. There's a difference between gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. Gifts are given to the church for the working of the church. Fruit is more of a character issue. And so every gift needs to be exercised within the church, but it's always got to be expressed in love. You need to understand that. A lot of people want to have gifts of prophecy or words of knowledge, and they'll just like blurt something out and hurt people's feelings. That's not of God. That's not of God. And so everything's got to be exercised and expressed in love. The number one sign, write this down, that we belong to the Lord is that we love each other. Number one. I mean, you know, Paul said in Ephesians 4:15 through 16, he said, instead we speak the truth in what? Love. Growing in every way more like Christ. When you speak the truth in love, you're more like Jesus, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. And so we've got to be full of love. For the most part, we've learned to have the appearance of loving each other, you know, in our society. We've been taught to be polite and to try and avoid hurting people's feelings until Facebook and social media came along, because now it's easy to do this at a distance. You say things with your thumbs that you would never say in person, right? And so people do that, but for the most part, we've learned how to be polite and those kind of things. But God's calling us as His people and His River Church for a different kind of love. He's calling us to love people with a sacrificial love that goes beyond politeness, and it's the kind of love that looks for people's needs. We got people in this church been carrying food to people that are sick, been going and picking up prescriptions for people, not just recently, all summer long since this pandemic's been going on. You know, it's like I've talked to some of them. It sounds like you're driving somewhere. Yep, we're delivering something to somebody. You know, and they'll tell me. And so it's just like, but people are doing that all through this church. And that's what the body does. That's what love does. You know, Jesus said your love for one another will prove to the world that you're my disciples. Didn't say how many verses you know of Scripture will prove to the world. Didn't say how often you go to church will prove to the world. Your love for one another will prove to the world you're my disciples. And so we as a church are to love God with everything in us, but we're supposed to love each other as we love ourselves. We also show our love when we serve. Write that down, when we serve. Paul said, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. So we want to serve the Lord enthusiastically. We want to serve Him. You know, you might write enthusiastically out next to where you wrote serve, since that's in the verse. And it's telling us to be busy about doing God's work. We need to serve Him. He didn't save us to come and sit. He saved us to come and serve and to work for Him. And so we show our love also by praying faithfully. By praying faithfully. Look what Romans 12:2 says. It says, rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. Now, we pretty much don't have much trouble when we're in trouble praying, do we? We're in trouble, that's when we pray. Help! You know? We show our love by praying for each other. By praying. And somebody showed me their prayer list the other day. They fixed it to go to a second page, and it's not double-spaced. You know, of a paper type, not handwritten. And so we show love when we're praying for people. And we should also show our love when we help others. Romans 12:13, when God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always eager to practice hospitality. So be ready to help them. You know, I know folks in our congregation that have cut other people's grass. I know, you know, they've taken meals. They've helped people move. We had a young lady in a singles group at another church one time. And she, I think about her third move that I helped them move on. She moved from a third floor apartment to a third floor apartment. I felt like just throwing the couch off the edge of the balcony. And it's like, we told her, said, listen, you're going to have to find another church before you move next time. I mean, this is when she moved from third floor to third floor, it was like, oh my goodness. But you know, I mean, we help people who are in need, and we also show our love when we bless others. When we bless others. Paul said in Romans 12:14, bless those who persecute you. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. And be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Now, you know, when we decide how to respond in those situations ahead of time, we're going to be avoiding getting caught off guard. And God wants us to bless people, not curse them. He wants us to speak life and not death. And so bless those who persecute you. Figure out ways to bless them. When it comes to, you know, tipping waiters, if you're a waiter or a waitress, you want me and Pastor Kathy at your table. If you wait, do a great job, I'm a good over tipper on the waiter side. And we always ask waiters and waitresses if we can pray for them. And if you treat me bad, I usually overtip, hoping that it'll make you treat the next person better. So you're just going to win-win with me. I mean, you know. But, you know, that's what we need to do. We need to look out after people. Jesus said this, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And when we do that, we become more like Jesus. Because what did Jesus say on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. That's why they were killing him. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And so that's only something that God can do. You might have somebody you need to forgive. And maybe they didn't nail you on a cross, but you need God to bring that about. That's one of those God things Pastor Kathy was talking about, is you've been able to forgive somebody maybe. So I want you to think about that. Ask yourself, what can I do better to live for the Lord in 2021? What are some things that I can do better to live for the Lord? Whether it's read the Bible regularly, maybe it's to read your one-year Bible or spend that first 15 and all those kind of things. That's your personal time. What can you do be better? Maybe you practice fasting every so often and things like that for discipline. The second question I would give you is, what can I do better to serve the Lord in our church in 2021? Maybe you want to say, you know what, I'm going to plug in and I'm going to be here. I'm going to come regularly. I'm going to get involved in something. We're going to do one of the things we'll do this year is we're going to add shape. We're going to do this spring, we're going to do shape, which is talking about what are your spiritual gifts, your shape for ministry. And we're going to teach that class and do that and let you find some things. But then it's also good, you may think, well, I like to work with kids. And you go work with them, and then you realize you don't want to work with children. But you help for a little while, and then, maybe I'll be a greeter, everybody do this for me real quick. See, all of y'all qualify, even the ones with the mask. I can see your eyes. So what can I do to better serve the church? And then what can I do to better show love to others in 2021? What can you do to show love to other people? And think about some of those things. Maybe some of those people that you need to bless them and not curse them. What are some ways that you can do that? So let's just bow our heads for a minute. If we can do those three things, we can change 2021. If we can take some steps to serve God better, if we can and live for the Lord better, and to show love to others, it'll change not only us, it'll change those around us. It all starts with a relationship with Jesus, though. And so I want to give you an opportunity here. Let me tell you something. None of this works without Jesus. None of this works. You hear people say that, and you Teen Challenge guys, you get taught that kind of stuff. I remember being taught that. But until you have that relationship with Jesus, a personal, real relationship. I grew up in church. Man, I knew all the stuff, and I'd have busted hell wide open. I mean, I was witnessing in Grant Park in Atlanta, Georgia, lost as a goose, but I was up there with my church. But there came a day when a guy challenged me and said, when are you going to get off the fence? And I went home that night and I invited Jesus Christ, just me and him, in my bedroom, on the floor beside my bed. Jesus, come into my life. Be my Savior, be my Lord, change me, God. And he did. And he did, and he'll do that for you. So I want to lead you in a prayer. If you're listening on Facebook, if you're here tonight, and maybe you've never really done that personal relationship, established that. That's the way you start doing that first question. So just pray this in your heart with me. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. And I need you to save me. Be my Savior. Come into my life. Forgive me of all my sin. Give me the power to follow you every single day. It's in your name I pray. If you just invited him in, Jesus came into your life. He forgives you of your sins. And you're a new person. And now you can look at how you can serve him better. 2021, and how you can love him better, and how you can forgive that person that you just can't forgive, because it's only with God's power you can do that. So I'm gonna say a prayer, then I want us to get out of here singing Break Every Chain. Can we do that? And so I know Wayne just needs a little more workout on the drums and everything, but let me just pray for you. Lord, I just pray, God, that you help each one of us that's hearing my voice. Think of things. Lord, show us. Let your Holy Spirit show us what we can do to better live for you in 2021. To better live for you, Lord. Show us what we can do to better serve our church in 2021. Show us how we can love others better. Some specific ways we can show love to some others. Lord, we just ask you to do that for us. As we kind of go into this 21 days of prayer, we ask that you would do that, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Everybody said together.